Okay, Shalom Aleichem. So you have in front of you two pages. One is Hilchot Avodah Zarah, Perek Yod of the Rambam, and the other is a photocopy of something from the Chazon Ish, which we'll look at presently. So if you look at the Rambam first, we're actually continuing where we left off last time. The Rambam writes in Perek Yod, Hilchot Avodah Zarah, Halacha Zayin, V'asur liten lahem matanot chinam. It is forbidden to give to them being, well, that's part of what we're going to discuss now, non-Jews, or people who worship false gods, it's forbidden to give them matanoth chinam, a gift, something for free. You're allowed to sell something to such a person, but you're not allowed to give such a thing to a person for free as a gift. Aval nothen hu l'ger toshav. However, one can give a free gift to a ger toshav, which we will discuss in a moment. The Torah speaking about meat which is not kasher may be given, it says in the Torah, it may be given, you may give it to the sojourner who lives amongst you and he may eat it, which means which is talking about a ger toshav, as we'll discuss in a moment, or machor lanochri, or you may sell it to a non-Jew. In other words, you see that the Torah is really making this distinction between giving something as a gift, lateth, right, titanena, to the ger toshav, the temporary resident, but to someone who's referred to by the Torah as a nochri. A nochri, simply put, means a non-Jew, which we'll explain further in a moment. It says, it explicitly mentions the term omachor. Machor means to sell, limkor, right? B'mechira v'lo b'nethina, to a person who's not a ger toshav. In other words, says the Rambam, you may not give something as a gift. It has to be, you may give it over to him as a mechira. Now here I repeat what I think we've mentioned before on other occasions, and that is that the Ramban, with a nun, in his Hidushim to Masechet Makot, Daf Teth, writes the following. It's later quoted also by the Ritba and other Rishonim, but the originator of what I'm about to say is the Ramban, and he makes the following statement, that Chazal use three terms when referring to someone who is not Jewish. Those three terms are either Nuchri or Goy, which are interchangeable. Alright, Nuchri is the term used in the Torah, Shebichtav, in the Torah itself, the written Torah. And the word Goy, which actually in the Lashon of the Tanakh means a nation, is the term used more frequently by Chazal to denote an individual, even though not a nation, but someone from the nations. In other words, an individual from the Goyim, he's referred to as a Goy. So Nuchri or Goy are interchangeable, synonymous terms. The second term is a ben Noah. A ben Noah is literally a Noahide, in other words, a person who we know keeps the Sheva Misvot ben Noah, the seven Misvot, the Misvot lo ta'aseh, that every human being is required to live by, such as not stealing, shpichut damim, killing, different kinds of cruel behavior, avodah zarah, right, worshipping false gods. These are all misvot lo ta'aseh, they're all part of the Sheva Misvot ben Noach. And a person who does these things is called a ben Noach, as opposed to what we said a moment ago, a nochri or a goy. This is a person where we do not know that he keeps these Sheva Misvot, and the assumption is that he does not. And Kol Sheken, if you know for a fact that he does not. But even if you don't know this person, stam a person off the street, we do not assume is a ben noach. Third term is a ger toshav. Ger toshav literally means a stranger or a non-Jew who is a sojourner, a ger, and a toshav. A ger is a stranger, and a toshav is a resident or a sojourner. What is a ger toshav? A ger toshav is a person who has been officially has come before a Beth Din, and he has been officially proclaimed and given the status of a ger toshav, and this means that the Beth Din checked and confirms that he keeps the Shavu Mitzvot Benoach, and such a person, once given this status, has several rights and privileges that any other non-Jew living in a Jewish state run according to Torah in Eretz Yisrael does not necessarily enjoy. For example, we are required, if such a person, such a ger toshav, is financially in a very bad way and needs tzedakah very urgently, we're required to give him tzedakah as we are to any Jew. We're not required to give tzedakah to the entire world. So any person, even if he happens to keep the Shavu Mitzvot Benoach, who happens to be before us, we don't have any formal obligation towards this person. I don't think there's any isur whatsoever in giving tzedakah to a person that you know keeps Shavu Mitzvot Benoach. In fact, this is proved from the Talmud in Sechet Avodah Zarah Daf Kaf, where it speaks about Rabbi Yudah Nasi giving a gift, which is part of what we're discussing here, giving a gift to a certain non-Jew, and the Gemara asks how could he have done this, and the Gemara says because he knew this person was a person who did not worship Avodah Zarah and kept the Shavu Mitzvot Benoach, and therefore he actually doesn't mention the Shavu Mitzvot Benoach specifically. It says that he knew he did not worship Avodah Zarah. In other words, even though in the time of Rabbi there was not officially this legal status of a ger toshav did not exist at that time, but we see from this incident with Rabbi Yudah Nasi that if a person in another period of time would have qualified for this position, for the status of a ger toshav, he can be treated in certain ways at least as if he is a ger toshav. So if a person has that is something you may do. You may give tzedakah, you may give a gift to a person who is a ben noach, if you know for a fact he keeps the Shavu Mitzvot Benoach. But regarding a ger toshav who's been given this status by the Beth Din, so in a modern Jewish state today would be under the auspices of Misrad HaPanim, there would be some Beth Din that would be involved in deciding such matters, and if the Beth Din thought this person was worthy of this status, then he would be given some kind of ID card or something saying that he's a ger toshav, for example. And then you're not only able, but you're required to give him tzedakah if he needs tzedakah. Okay. In general, such a person has a ger toshav. The word toshav means a resident, which means he has the right to live. He's given the right to live in Eretz Yisrael, the privilege of living in Eretz Yisrael amongst the Jewish people. We don't have to give him this status, but once we have given him this status, he has this privilege. Whereas another person, who also may be keeping the Shavu Mitzvot Benoach, even if we know this for a fact, if he hasn't been officially proclaimed a ger toshav, he does not have the privilege, doesn't have the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So these are some of the distinctions between a full-blown ger toshav and someone who's a ben noach. At any rate, to get back to the Ramban states that these three terms, goy or nochri, is for a person that we do not know anything about, or that we must assume for now that he does not keep the Moshav Mishav ben noach. That is the general assumption. B is ben noach, and C is the ger toshav. So the Rambam, when writing this halacha in Halacha Zayin, he says, "Asur liten lahem matanot hinam." It is asur to give a gift to these people. Which people? The ones he's been referring to throughout this chapter. The ones being referred to in this chapter, as you see at the top of the beginning of the chapter, are of the Avodah Zarah. Right, that is the way the Rambam opens this chapter of Hilchot Avodah Zarah. He says, "En korathin berith of the Avodah Zarah." But you will note that the Rambam tends to use, both in this chapter and the following chapter, in Perek Yud Aleph, and in other contexts as well, the Rambam uses the term Goy and Oved Avodah Zarah, which technically are not synonymous. Right? Goy means a non-Jew, and Oved Avodah Zarah means a person who worships some kind of foreign religion. So a person might be a Goy, might not be an Oved Avodah Zarah, correct? But, and it's vaday a possibility, it's vaday possible, as that's exactly what the Gemara was discussing vis-a-vis Rabbi, who gave a gift to this non-Jew. And the Gemara said that he knew that he was not the kind of person who worshipped Avodah Zarah. So of course such a thing is possible. But the assumption is, generally speaking, that non-Jews do worship some kind of foreign worship which is not allowed. So the Rambam uses the term Oved Avodah Zarah and the term Goy interchangeably, as you will see. For instance, he sees the beginning of Halakha Aleph, the Rambam says, "En korathim berith la'Oved Avodah Zarah, kedesh shena'aseim lahem shalom v'niyach otham la'Ovdah." As we learned in the past, we're not allowed to make a treaty and come to some arrangement with Oved Avodah Zarah within Eretz Yisrael we're talking about here, in order to allow them to remain, which would allow them to remain here and continue worshipping Avodah Zarah. The Rambam continues in the same halakha and he says, "Lefichach, im ra'a goy, oved Avodah Zarah, oved o tovea b'nahar," because this person is involved in doing something which is asur, Avodah Zarah, And this is against the Shevet Misvot Bnei Noach, okay? And the punishment for a non-Jew who transgresses any one of the seven Shevet Misvot Bnei Noach is mitha, is death. There is no other prescribed punishment. So the Rambam, so the Chachamim said, and the Rambam is quoting here, that if a Jew sees such a person in a situation where he's shall we say drowning, lo ya'aleno. That's the Rambam says here. Lefichach, im ra'a goy, oved avodah zarah, oved o tovea b'nahar, lo ya'aleno. If he sees such a person in a situation where his life is in danger, he shouldn't save him. Ra'u laku ahlamuth, lo yasileno. Right? However, if one looks up the source in the Gemara, in the Talmud, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Kaf Wav, where this Braitha is brought, one sees it doesn't say Avodah Zarah, it says Hagoyim. En ma'alim wa en moridim. Okay? Lo ma'alim wa lo moridim, which is exactly the situation that Rambam describes here. In other words, when the Talmud says Goyim, the Rambam writes, here he's being more explicit, he says, Goy Oved Avodah Zarah, so you really can't make any mistake. But later on in the Perek, he doesn't use both terms, he uses just one term, such as a Goy, for example. In Halakha Beth, the Rambam says, "Bamid varim amurim b'goy," talking about a non-Jew. This halakha we just mentioned is referring to a non-Jew. Aval mosrei Yisrael b'minim apikosim. In other words, people who are Jews but are who possess and hold views that are diametrically opposed to the Torah, and they openly oppose the word of Hashem, as it appears in the Torah, such people are considered even more, are to be dealt with more severely, says the Rambam. Miswa labadam bayad. So you see at the beginning of the halakha, the Rambam was speaking about a goy. And this exactly is what the Ramban, with the Nun, was explaining in Masechet Makot, Daf Tef, that wherever Chazal said goyim stam, without being more specific, the assumption is that such a person is over at least one of the Shevet Misvot Bnei Noach. Because that's generally the case. Even to this day, I would say that's generally the case. In Halakha Gimel, you see, the Rambam continues this theme, as we saw last time, where he speaks about Mikanata Lamed Shasula Rapoth of Dabadazara Filu Basakhar. You're not allowed to heal such people, and if you're not allowed to save them, you can't heal them either. But the Rambam, when the Rambam says it, but there are those that you may heal, the Rambam, as if you're a doctor, the Rambam says, "Wuchir toshav, ho'il watanus elachiyotho merapim otho b'chinam." When the Rambam makes a distinction between those you are allowed to heal even for free, and those you're not allowed to heal for free, which is the same as giving them a gift, right? The Rambam distinguishes between a goy, which means any goy that we don't know anything about specifically, and a ger toshav. The distinction is always between ger toshav and goyim stam. The same is true in halacha dala, talking about selling land. Rambam speaks about ein mochrin mahem. Lahem means to these goyim. And then in halacha dala and here the Rambam does not make this distinction, but in the halacha we read just a moment ago at the beginning of the shiur, halacha zayin, the Rambam does make this distinction again. He says, "Asul iten lahem matanot chinam, avan nothenu leger toshav." So it's repeated actually several times by the Rambam in this context that all these prohibitions apply to all non-Jews except a ger toshav. As we said, a ger toshav is someone who accepted in front of a Beit Din, took upon himself, obligated himself to live according to the Shem Mitzvot Ne'noach. He was accepted by the Beit Din as such a person, and given this, recognized as such a person, and given such a status. All right. So the question now becomes: what about someone who is not a ger toshav, but let's say we don't know that he's Oved Avodah Zarah. We're not aware of the fact that he's Oved Avodah Zarah. And a perfect example of this is a Muslim. Muslims do not worship Avodah Zarah, strictly speaking, in the sense that they believe in one God. They don't worship idols, right? And therefore you could say they're not Oved Avodah Zarah. The Rambam does in fact say this. And both the Ma'achalot HaSuroth, etc. The Rambam talks about this. Wine, etc., to do with non-Jews touching wine, and the Rambam says that the Yishma'anim Einam Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Does that mean that a person who is a Yishma'ili, who is a Muslim, you may give him a Matnat Chinam? Does this halacha of being allowed to do so regarding a Ger Toshav, does it apply to such a person? This is exactly what we're discussing this evening. This has been discussed by different posukim, and it would be very it would take a very long time to go through all the different sources, but briefly what we can say at this point is as follows: that many of the posukim discuss this issue without having the correct uncensored versions of different texts before them. For example, this also has to do, by the way, with the Heter Mechira for Shmi'ith, which involves supposedly selling land to a non-Jew, even if it's only temporary. So there were posukim who said that Yishma'ilim, seeing they don't worship Avodah Zarah, you may give them a gift, for example, or you may therefore also the isur of Lot Tachonim regarding selling of land does not apply to them. And many of them go as far as quoting the Bach. The Bach discusses this in Yoreh De'ah. The trouble is that the Bach there was censored very heavily. When I say censored heavily, I mean heavily. In other words, half the Bach is missing. In other words, the Bach is about this long, and about this much appears, and the other half does not appear in the old printings. It's only in the more recently, this one here, this edition, more recently printed editions of the Torah, which are based on uncensored sources, that the whole, everything the Bach wrote on the subject appears. And if one reads the first half, one can get the impression that Bach says that Yishma'ilim, because they don't worship Avodah Zarah, you may give them a matnat chinam, and you may sell them land, etc. But if you read the whole thing, including the second half, which is removed in many of the editions, and you see that's exactly the exact opposite of what he is actually driving at, his conclusion that it's asur. And the logic of this position is explained at some length here by the Chazon Ish. That's what you have in front of you, on the page in front of you. The Chazon Ish says, on the right-hand column, it's four lines down from the top of the page. Vehar Toshav, says the Chazon Ish, Kaima lan karabanan avodah zara samach tarad amud beth kol shekibel ala oshev ha-misvoth vahaynu kabalash bifne beth din. So first of all, the Chazon Ish states a fact which is generally understood and accepted, that Ger Toshav is someone, according to what it says in the Gemara, Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Samech Dalet, is someone who accepts upon himself, in front of a Beth Din, the Shev Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Wa'en mekabelim Ger Toshav ela bezman shayovel noher. And the halacha is, furthermore, as stated in Masechet Arachin, Daf Kaftet, that this status of Ger Toshav can only be conferred on a person at such time when Am Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, and the Yovel, the Jubilee year, is Noheg, is practiced, as opposed to, shall we say, the present time when it's not. Uchamos shepasak haram, as Rambam himself is posek halacha, in Perek Yudal of Hilchot Yisrael Bia, in Perek Yod of Hilchot Avodah Zarah. That's what we're about to see in a moment in the Rambam. וכתב הראב"ד הלכות ייסורי ביאה שם הטעם מפני שקבלת גר תושב מסוואן וכדאמר גיטין מ"ה למד תידרש בזה לא תעשה עבד אפילו למען דרש למיתה אחרית המודה שהוא מסוואן ואפשר שכל העניים שבמות יעלו לארץ ויקבלו עליהן גרות. In other words, the Ravad, and as the Chazon Ish here explains the Ravad that we're about to, we'll have occasion to mention again in the future, when Chazal say that a certain thing is noheg, in other words, a certain halacha is operative, when the Yovel is noheg, when the Jubilee year is in place, that's another way of saying that when the situation is as it should be. In other words, when things are functioning, and the Jewish people is functioning as they should be, and the Jewish people are strong and able to deal with all these kinds of issues. For example, you can't have a situation where the Jewish people themselves are having more than enough difficulty running their own affairs and dealing with their own poor and dealing with their own needs, and all these non-Jews around the world will discover that there's this halakha that requires them to support a Ger Toshav. So all we have to do now is all of us hop on the plane, get ourselves the Eretz Yisrael, and get ourselves the certificate saying that we're Ger Toshav, and we're made, right? We have it made. And just in case it sounds like an unlikely situation, I would remind you that at least 40% of those who came to Eretz Yisrael in the last 18 or so years from the former Soviet Union are definitely not Jewish, and the reason they came, this is certainly true for a large percentage of them at least, is this very reason that we just mentioned. In other words, for economic reasons. It's exactly this situation that the halakha is trying to prevent. It's only when the Jewish people are able to deal with such a reality that you can accept a Ger Toshav, because a Ger Toshav can be potentially a drain on the Jewish people's resources, certainly if they come in huge numbers. So it's something which has to be regulated, and there has to be some supervision of what's going on, who can be a Ger Toshav and who cannot. And the person, of course, has to convince the Beit Din that he's sincere, he's not doing it for ulterior motives. This is what the Chazon Ish is explaining here. So he says, because it's a miswa to deal, and to once one has accepted a Ger Toshav, it's a miswa, a chova, to look after him if necessary. Chazon Ish writes, where Efshal Shekol Ha'aniyim Shebe'olmoth Ya'alu La'aretz, V'yikablu Aleihem Geruth HaToshav V'nechayev La'achayotham. In that case, we'll be required to support, you know, huge numbers of people, millions of people or something. That certainly can't be the case, especially when Am Yisrael's not up to it. V'fichach bezman shehayovel noheg v'chol Yisrael alad matham. In other words, when you say, when the Yovel is noheg, When you speak about the Jubilee year being operative, you're referring to a situation where the Jewish people, at least the vast majority of them, are living in Eretz Yisrael, which implies a powerful and stable Jewish entity in Eretz Yisrael, not some fragile political and economic situation. Wehen sholtim ba'olam. Literally, and they rule the world, they control the world. In other words, they're very powerful. Their situation is such they can allow themselves this to take upon themselves this responsibility. Efshar lehem la'amod ba'davar, then they can do such a thing. They're able to live up to such a thing. Aval bezman she'en kol yoshvi aleha, but when most of the, you don't have a situation where all the Jews or the vast majority of them are living in Eretz Yisrael, when shalitat Yisrael shlema, and the control of the Jewish people, maybe even over their own land, is not complete, certainly not over other things, it's not possible they should accept gerim toshavim in a wholesale fashion and be required to support them. Now the Chazon Ish discussed all this because of what we saw in the what we have here in the Rambam that we're about to read now. If you look in Halacha Chet, which I haven't looked at yet, we'll read that briefly. We found the Sim Aniyei Goyim. This is referring not to a Ger Toshav, but to any non-Jew, shall we say, where there are matanoth aniyim. In other words, there are things left in the field for the poor to gather. Aniyei goyim are allowed to gather these things, for example, together with poor Jews, mipnei darkei shalom, in order to maintain good neighborly relations. When memahin biyad aniego im beleke shichcha ufeah mipnei darkei shalom. So this refers to things both in the field and also when the charity fund in town is giving out tzedakah, goyim who come are also given. V'shoalim bishloman v'afilu b'yom edam, and we greet them in the street, etc. Afilu b'yom edam, even on the day when they worship a special day, a special festival of Avodah Zarah, mipnei darkei shalom. Again, in order to maintain good relations, as we'll see in a moment, this is because we are not in a situation where we can afford to do otherwise. Ve'en koflim lahem shalom, but you don't greet them with too much enthusiasm. You don't repeat the word shalom le'olam. You just say the minimum that you need to say. Ve'lo yikanes levetho shel nochri biyom edo, and a Jew should not enter the home of a non-Jew who has some avodah zarah festival on that particular day. Biyom edo liten lo shalom, to greet him or to wish him well on that day. Nosao bashuk, if he ran into him in the street, noten lo shalom b'safa rafa v'chobed rosh, and he greets him in a as minimalistic way as he can. Now the Rambam says, regarding everything we just said in this chapter, he says in Halachat Teth, En kol ha-devarim ha'elu amurim, everything we just discussed in this chapter, in other words, about not making any kind of a treaty with non-Jews to allow them to remain in Israel, and not selling them land, and giving them gifts, etc. We're all talking about a situation, all these halachot, you know, you run into him in the street, you have to greet him. How do you greet him? All these halachot referring to a reality in which you have goyim who are of the Avodah Zarah, and they are in Eretz Yisrael. They're living here in Eretz Yisrael amongst us. So Rambam says this entire reality of non-Jews living in Eretz Yisrael who deny the truth of the Torah and openly do not accept the word, Hashem's word, the Torah, and hold other views. En kol advarim ha'ela amurim ela bazman shegalu Yisrael ben ha'umoth o bazman she'ed ha'goyim takifa. This situation applies either when the Jews are living amongst the nations in Chutz La'aretz, or bezman, that's the first part of the sentence, bezman shegalu Yisrael ben ha'umoth, or bezman she'ed ha'goyim takifa, or even when Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, but they are being ruled by others. In other words, they're not masters of their own destiny. They're not sovereign. Aval bezman she'ed Yisrael takifa al umot ha'olam. However, at a time when the Jews are in their own land and their yad is takifa, in other words, literally their hand is strong. In other words, they are able to decide what they will do and what they will not do, and they can impose their will al umot ha'olam and those living amongst them, the goyim living in Eretz Yisrael. Asur lanu lahaniach ha'goy obed avodah zarah benenu. In that situation, which is the lechatchila situation that the Torah is discussing, as we've mentioned many times before, the Torah Shebichtav discusses exclusively the normative situation, the lechatchila situation. The lechatchila situation is that Am Yisrael is living in its own land and is a sovereign and powerful national entity, and it decides for itself what will and will not go on within its own borders. In that situation, says the Rambam, Asur lanu laniach goy obed avodah zarah benenu. In that situation, we are not permitted to allow non-Jews who worship Avodah Zarah to remain in Eretz Yisrael. That was what the Rambam said, if you recall, in Halakha Aleph. Right? The Rambam said that we're not allowed to leave such people in Eretz Yisrael. Ela yachzaru ma'avodatha or yihargu. They have to either accept, they must desist from their religious practices and accept that Sheva Miswath bin Noach, or they had to be put to death. So says the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, as we learned previously. Avar afilu, says the Rambam, afilu yoshev yeshivat arai, even to live here temporarily, not to settle here, but to live here for a year or half a year, or over makom l'makom l'schara, even a non-Jew who just wants to pass through, shall we say, a merchant, he's selling merchandise, he enters the country in one port and he wants to travel through the country selling his wares and leave the country in a month from now. The Rambam says, lo ya'avor ba'arsenu ad she'ikabel alav shev misvot shenistor b'nei Noach. He's not allowed to be here even for that purpose until he accepts upon himself the shev misvot b'nei Noach. Shene'emar, as it says in the Torah, lo yeshvu ba'arsecha, they may not dwell in your land. Do not allow them to dwell in your land. And the Rambam says, afilu refi sha'a, even if it's only for a short period of time. Regarding this last statement of the Rambam, that a non-Jew who worships some foreign religion, foreign god, etc., may not be in Eretz Yisrael, if we're in charge, if we're in a situation to decide, the Rambam said this is true even if this person wishes to be here only temporarily. Regarding this, the Rava disagrees with the Rambam, and he says, Zof lo masanu wa lo shamanu mi'olam. This I have not seen or heard anywhere before, such a person may not be in Eretz Yisrael even temporarily. This is one comment that the Ravad makes. The second is another comment the Ravad makes here on the same halacha, and that is that the Rambam says, the next statement of the Rambam that we are yet to read. Let's read it now. The last sentence or so of the Rambam in halacha in Perek Yod. The Rambam writes, "Ve'im kibel alav sheva misvot." If such a person rejected all foreign gods and religions and took upon himself the Shev Misvot Bnei Noach, Hareza Ger Toshav, such a person is called a Ger Toshav. And then we're talking about a different thing altogether, says the Rambam. In other words, that's already a different kettle of fish. What I just said, says the Rambam, about such a person, a non-Jew, not being allowed to be in Eretz Yisrael even temporarily, applies to someone who did not accept the Shomer Sod Ben Noach and who continues to hold to his original Avodah Zarah and his religious opinions. But if he became a Ger Toshav, then this is different. The situation is different. But the Rambam says, "Ve'en mekabelim Ger Toshav ela bezman she'hayover maher." However, this can only be done, as we just explained, we just saw in the Chazon Ish. The statement is not from the Chazon Ish, the statement is from the Gemara in Masechet Arachin. The Gemara there says, "En mekablim ger toshav ela bezman shayovel noher." This ger toshav status may only be conferred on a person at a time when the yovel is noher. In other words, when Am Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, all or the vast majority of the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, the land has been divided amongst the different tribes, etc., and the Yovel is in place, which implies also there's a Mikdash, and then implies there's a Malchut and a Sanhedrin. All these things are in place. At such a time, you can accept Gerim Toshavim. Aval shelo bezman ha-Yovel, says the Rambam, when there is no Yovel, en mekabelim ela ger sedak bilvad. If that's the case, if there's no Yovel, then you can only accept the ger sedak, which means that a non-Jew wishes to become a Jew, a full-blown Jew. So according to the Rambam, at the present time, for example, when there's no Yovel, there's only one option. You can either be a goy. You can be a goy who accepts the Shomer Sod Ben Noach, but you won't get the official status of a ger toshav. Or you can be a ger tzedek, but you can't be a ger toshav. Regarding this last statement, the Ra'avad says, "Eni mashuelo b'yeshivat ha'ares." That's all the Ra'avad says, and what he means is not 100% clear. It's been discussed by many posukim over the centuries. It seems that the Ravad means to say that in his opinion, it's certainly true, but the Ravad certainly is not coming to disagree or to deny that the Talmud in Masechet Arachin states explicitly that there's no Ger Toshav except when the Yovel is Noher. The question is, does this apply to all areas of what being a Ger Toshav means, or are there certain things which nevertheless can exist even when there is no Yovel in fact, in practice? For example, the Ravad says, "B'yeshivat ha'ares ani mashuelo," which means he seems to be saying, regarding the possibility of living in Eretz Yisrael, I don't agree with him, with the Rambam. In other words, it seems that Ravad wishes to say as follows: it's true that we are not required to give livelihood and tzedakah to a person who is not an official ger toshav in the full sense of the word, and that can only take place when there's a yovel, and therefore it can't be at the present time, says the Ravad. True, but a person that we know for a fact is no longer in any way, shape, or form an oved avodah zarah. In other words, for example, a person who may have been once upon a time, but he rejected all avodah zarah, he rejected all the religious notions that he grew up with, and he's accepted the Shomer Sod Ben Noach. We know, therefore, in terms of his beliefs, in terms of his views, in terms of his philosophy, he's not a danger or a problem anyway. So in terms of residing in Eretz Yisrael, we can allow him to reside here. We're not obligated to feed him, but we are able to allow him to be here. So the Ravad implies. And this statement of the Ravad is very important because different posukim and rabbanim, particularly over the last few generations, have, one could almost say, jumped on this statement of the Ravad in order to, as it were, give a hechsher to all kinds of non-Jews and all kinds of individuals of, generally speaking, undesirable nature, being in Eretz Yisrael, based on this Ravad. The Ravad said you don't need to have, even without the Yovel, this can take place, this can happen. It's exactly with regards to this that the Chazon Ish writes in the next paragraph, immediately below the one we just read, the one that begins with the letter Gimel. The Chazon Ish writes as follows: "V'da'at HaRambam, dechewan de'en anu mekablim otho, lo hutari shibotho ba'aris." Seeing that the halakha states that you can accept gerim toshavim when there is a yovel, so if there's no yovel, you can't accept it, and therefore he can't be here. Even though we know that he accepts the Sheva Mitzvot, and he actually keeps them, he lives by them. We know this. Even so, you can't accept him. You can't tell him you may live here. He can't be a resident. If it's not done in an official way in front of a Beit Din, we can't rely on the fact that he says so, or that we, from what we see, this seems to be the case. When ano b'ki'im b'hem, and we don't know them sufficiently well, and we can't investigate. A Beit Din investigates. A Beit Din doesn't give this status lightly. So it would make all kinds of investigations and test the person in different ways to be sure that this is the case. But if that's not being done, says the Chazon Ish, in order to explain the Rambam's position, he says if there's no Beit Din is actually doing this, then how do we really know? It's easy enough just to say, oh yes, I keep the Shabbos open. It's a very easy statement to make. It doesn't cost you anything. But who says it's true?
Aval dat ha-ra'aval.
The opinion of the Ra'aval, however, is, dechol shehu nizhav shehu miswoth, v'ra'u lekabelo, ela shemepnei ha-koshi niftarno mikabelotho, u'michiyuv lahayotho, shelo yinharu kulam la'ares, mikol makom en yisur b'yeshivotho. The Ra'aval's opinion is, the only reason that we can't accept him right now is more or less a technical one. In other words, there's no yovel right now. We're not in a position to accept Gerim Toshavim because of the difficulties involved and responsibility this implies, etc. So therefore we're patur from accepting Gerim Toshavim right now. But if we know for a fact that he is Ra'uy, based on everything we know, we can be certain that he is someone who keeps the Shavim Yisot Nenach, he may be allowed to be here. Why? Says the Chazon Ish, She'en kan hashash, pen yahatir wafechali. There is no hashash. There's no room to suspect, to be concerned, that he will act as a bad and negative influence on people. This is what it says in Parshat Mishpatim that we discussed last time, where it says, Lo yeshvu barsecha, such people may not dwell in your land, pen yahatiyu, yahatiyu ofechali, lest they cause you to sin, in other words, lest they lead you astray. Because you will meet them, you'll speak to them, you'll get to hear what they say, what they believe, and they will lead you astray. So if we know that his views are such, they will not lead you astray, then there's no problem. The Ravad, however, the Chazon Ish, however, continues.
ומסתבר לגם לעניין חנייה בקרקע וליתן להם מתנות חינם נמי במחלוקת שנויה.
It seems further, says the Chazon Ish, this is what I was basing myself on before when I said that you may and this is what we saw, what I mentioned, we saw from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in Masechet Avodah Zarah, that the same discussion between the Ravad and the Rambam regarding whether a person, a non-Jew who keeps the Shavu Yisrael Ninoach, may reside in Eretz Yisrael at the present time. The Rambam says no, the Ravad says yes. The same exact discussion would exist also regarding the question of Matnath Hinam, giving a gift, or selling land to such a person, Eretz Yisrael, for example. In other words, giving him Hanayaba Karka, as we discussed last time. The same things would apply. The Rambam would say it's Asur, the Ravad would say it's Mutar. In other words, the whole inyan of not giving a person land, not selling him a house or a field in Eretz Yisrael, is law that he shouldn't be able to settle here. And it has to be explained, and we just read now in the Chazon Ish also, and we explained last week also, why would you not want this person to settle in Eretz Yisrael? Because he may prove to be a very negative influence on the Jewish people. But if that is not the case, if we know that his views, his behavior, etc., are such, they will not constitute a negative influence, then why would we be opposed to him being able to live here and even own a field and own a home? So the Chazon Ish says, the Ra'avad who says he may live here also really holds that you can also give him a gift or you can sell land to him, etc. As the Chazon Ish now explains, the Lada'at HaRambam kol she'en lo kabbalah mahmirini imo. Anyone who has not been officially accepted by a Beit Din as a Ger Toshav, we don't give him any dispensations. He is considered to be a Goy Min Hashura, a regular non-Jew, unless a Beit Din is able to receive him as a Ger Toshav, accept him as a Ger Toshav. If that's not the case, then we have to be very strict. like Keshan Nukhri, like any other non-Jew. Uladat Ravad, with regard the Ravad's view is, says the Chazon Ish, Mekelen Na'imo, we are more Mekel if we know, even though there's no such Beit Din that will accept him officially as a Ger Toshav, if we know that he's such a person who accepts the Shavu Yisrael Penach, we can be more lenient. However, now the Chazon Ish makes a very, very important profound statement. He says, Wa'af, the Da'at HaRa'avad, even however, according to the Ra'avad, who is the Mekel in this discussion, Da'ukak Shehu Shalem Be'emunat Yisrael. This is true of a non-Jew who is Shalem Be'emunat Yisrael. What does that mean? He's not Jewish, so how can he be Shalem Be'emunat Yisrael? In other words, he accepts the Torah of the Jewish people as being the truth, as being the word of Hashem, and he accepts whatever the Torah says. She Yisrael nithayvu b'taryag misvot, and therefore he accepts and agrees and understands that Jews are hayav to keep the taryag misvot, 613 misvot, uvnei noach b'zayin b'sheva misvot. Such a person is considered a kosher goy, so to speak. A goy who is ra'ui to be a ger toshav, even if at the present time it can't be done officially, he's ra'ui to be a ger toshav. Because being a ger toshav, says the Chazon Ish, as he's explained to us, is not just saying, well, I don't murder and I don't steal, so I can be a ger toshav. You have to hold some of the basic positions. You have to accept some of the basic principles of Judaism. Namely, the Torah is true. You can't be a ger toshav and say, I don't think the Torah is true. I'm an atheist, shall we say, but I think it's nice to be a good person. I'm a moral individual, and I would never steal, and I would never harm a fly, and I certainly wouldn't kill anybody. And I'm being an atheist, I don't worship anything either. So I'm a ger toshav. The Chazon Ish says, no, you're not a ger toshav. Avali meshlo de'oth kozvoth. If such a person has false views, literally, in other words, false and pernicious ideologies and philosophies, wahu meshu'abad le'de'otho, and he believes strongly in these positions, af she'en b'hem avodah zara b'mash, even though they do not actually involve avodah zara. Example I just gave now, he may be an atheist, which v'day is not avodah zara, but in fact it's worse than avodah zara. At least a person who worships avodah zara understands there is some God, and you have to do something about this fact, about this recognition. A person who says there's nothing at all is actually more chamur than avodah zara. This is a big mistake that many people make. That the tziv also writes this explicitly, that a person who believes in no God whatsoever, an atheist, is worse than avodah zara. So the Chazon Ish writes, "Aval im yesh lo de'ot kozvot, v'hu meshu'abad le de'otho, af she'en b'hem avodah zara mamash, v'gam hu shomer sheva misvot, misad ha'yosher," even though he keeps the sheva misvot in practice, because he believes in moral conduct, because that's his personal view. We're not interested in a person's personal views, just as we're not interested in so to speak. We're not impressed by the fact that a Jew keeps Shabbat because he thinks it's a nice idea. Well, it is a nice idea, but that's not the reason that you're keeping Shabbat. In the first place, in the first instance, you're keeping Shabbat because Hashem told you, commanded you to do so. The person does all the misvot, but doesn't believe that he's required to do them, then he's not a good Jew at all. The Perush, which is normally associated with Rashi, although it's not actually Rashi, at the beginning of Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin, makes a similar point. There it talks about a person who does not believe in Tahiyat HaMethim, the resurrection of the dead. And the Parshan, who's usually called Rashi there, says, the Mishnah states, he who says, She'en Tahiyat HaMethim min HaTorah. It doesn't mean he doesn't accept the idea. He says, not min HaTorah. In other words, it's not an essential part of the Torah. I happen to believe it's true, but I don't think it's an essential part of the Torah. It's not that Hashem said it so. So the Perush, what seems to be Rashi on that spot, says, we're not interested in his personal opinion, whether he thinks it's a good idea or not a good idea. We want to know whether he accepts this as the Torah or not the Torah. That's what counts here. The same is true here that's regarding a Jew. Here the same is true for a non-Jew. If you keep the Shavuot Mitzvot Nenach simply because it suits you, or because that's what you're used to doing, or what have you, then that's not considered a Ben Noach Kasher. technically maybe not transgressing either Sheva Mitzvot, but it's not being a Ben Noach Kasher. Ben Noach Kasher, says the Chazon Ish, is someone who is Shalem Be'emunat Yisrael. He understands that the Torah is the word of Hashem, and that what the basic tenets of Judaism are the truth of reality and the human existence, and therefore, as a Ben Noach, he's chayav to keep the Sheva Mitzvot Ben Noach. But if he has other views, no matter how many of the Mitzvot he happens to keep, says the Chazon Ish, Sheino ra'u lekablo legel tushav, hare hu be'isur lo ta'ase, u be'isur yeshiva, u'karenan beho, pen yachatil, b'chvirothahem, b'chvirutham. In other words, it goes without saying that if a person holds such views, such as an atheist, he's just as much of a likely source of negative influence on Jewish people as a person who worships Avodah Zarah, maybe even worse. And therefore, he's vadai still included within the purview of the negative commandment of the Torah. Lo yishvu b'arsecha pen yahati v'fechali. They may not live in your land lest they lead you astray. Such a person, his views are likely to lead a person astray just as much as any Avodah Zarah. Mu'af al gav delin yan yisu yayin v'oved Avodah Zarah talui כמו שכתב בעובד עבודה זרה תלוי כמו שכתב הרמב״ם החל לעניין לא תעשה אין חילוק. In other words, I'm sorry, החל לעניין לא תחונם אין חילוק. What the Chazon Ish is explaining is that when we're talking about לא תחונם, when we're talking about לא תחונם, as Chazon Ish said here, when he has these, he holds all kinds of false views which are the opposite of what the Torah teaches us. Here we the fundamental deciding factor is what views does he hold, what is his belief system and his value system. That's what decides if he's a kosher goy or a not kosher goy. Regarding another issue, although it's related, namely what is the status of wine that was touched by such a person, there the Rambam says, as I mentioned earlier, that Yishma'ilim, seeing that they're not of the Avodah Zarah, they when they touch wine, is less severe, the halachic issue involved is less serious than if another kind of a goy who uses wine in his Avodah Zarah, in his religious practice, if he touches it. There the difference is what ideas could have been in the mind of a non-Jew who touched wine at the moment that he touched the wine. If he's the kind of Jew, which you have to remember the time of Chazal, the Romans, for example, worshipped idols, all kinds, and emperors and whatnot, and they offered sacrifices, which also involved wine libations on altars to their gods, okay? So a non-Jew who uses wine in his religious practice, in his religious services, takes hold of a bottle of wine or a barrel of wine, we are concerned that he may have intended to use this for some purpose of Avodah Zarah, as opposed to a Muslim, who may be the nastiest person on earth, shall we say. But he doesn't use wine in his mosque. Malah said that's just a fact. There's no, they don't have altars, and they don't offer any kind of sacrifice, not wine or anything else, to any false god. And therefore, he's not likely to have any such idea in his head if he picks up a barrel of wine, right? More than likely, if he picked up a barrel of wine, what he's intending to do with it is either to drink it or to sell it, but not to use it for some religious purpose. So there, on that issue, the Rambam said that a Muslim who doesn't use wine for religious purposes, his maga, his touch regarding wine, is much less serious than that of a Christian, because Christians do use, at least the traditional Christian form of Christianity, which is the Orthodox churches and the Catholic Church, etc., where they use wine on an altar, etc., to this day. Wine is part of the Avodah Zarah, in other words. There, it's much more serious than regarding an Yishma'ili. But regarding the Yisuv Lo Tachonim and Lo Yishvu Ba'atzecha, here we go entirely according to the religious outlook and philosophical perspective of this individual. If his view on existence and regarding the Torah is in consonance with the teachings of the Torah, Then the Ravad says such a person may be allowed to live even if it's not officially the time when the UFL is in force. And the Rambam would say even that's not possible. But even the Ravad is Mekel, says the Chazon Ish, is not Mekel Stam. Anyone can come, it's open birth, all in Sunday. No, it has to be the kind of person who fits this description. Okay, that's what we wanted to cover tonight. Are there any questions?
When was the last time that you were
It's a good question. What would you say if I told you no one's exactly sure? In other words, there is, for example, a discussion amongst the Rishonim whether the Yovel was Noher, at the time of Hillel HaZaken, for example. Hillel HaZaken, Hillel the Elder, in other words, 2,100 years ago, roughly, all right? 2,050 years ago, something like that. It's debated whether there was the Yovel was Noheg at that time or not. So it's not entirely clear. But it is certainly it's clear that since the time of the Churban, which is getting on towards 2,000 years, right? It's certainly clear that since then there has been no Yovel. So you could say 2,000 years.
What's
roughly
the earliest definitive time where there's absolutely no disagreement that it wasn't kept from this point on? Was it after the destruction of the Second Temple?
From what time can we say for a fact that there was Yovel?
That it definitely wasn't.
Definitely wasn't from the destruction of the Second Temple. You can definitely make that assumption.
Before
yes.
Before that, it's some debate.
Yes.
Whether at one point.
Right. Some say that at least at some time during the Second Temple period there was a Yovel, and others say, and if there was a Yovel, they say it was only Yovel de Rabbanan, not Yovel min Torah. It's a very involved discussion. But certainly from the time of the Churban, there was no Yovel.
And the other point was, I read about a week or so ago. There's a place where they're building a tunnel through a mountain somewhere north of Jerusalem, and they have a lot of Chinese workers. And in the name of respecting the custom of these Chinese workers, the Chinese workers made an offering to the mountain to apologize that we're making a hole through you, okay, the tunnel. This obviously is quite problematic, really, when you've got Chinese workers making some form of Chinese appeasement to a mountain.
Yep, I could not agree with you more. What can I say?
We don't have enough problems. In that respect, I disagree with a lot of the mainstream attitude where people say, oh, it's better to have Chinese workers and Arab workers, in respect of Chinese workers making offerings to mountains. I think that's worse than an Arab with a knife.
I'm not sure I agree with that. Spiritually, there's no question that offerings to mountains is a problem. A big problem.
It's quite serious.
No, on the other hand, it's also something to take into consideration that Chinese workers don't knife people on the streets, nor do they blow up buses.
Nor do they
spy for the Hezbollah, as far as I know. So there are other things to take into account. So I wouldn't be hasty in making such judgments. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Call to